And welcome
to Sort of the Story.
I'm Janie.
And I'm Max.
Wow. And this is the podcast where we tell each other fairy tales, like folk tales.
Wow. And also,
you are here. Thank God you're here.
It's been bad here.
It's been bad. We're over here telling each other fairy tales like folk tales.
Got ourselves all turned around.
Oh, no. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. This podcast isn't for kids.
No.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out of here!
You were warned.
I really hope you turn it off before we start dropping F-bombs. Guys, good news.
You gotta be faster on the trigger, man.
We know it's officially, we're out of the winter season because the air conditioning in our house is broken again, as it does yearly.
Mm-hmm. Multiple times a year, usually.
Yeah. So it is 77 degrees in this office today and climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So get ready for a lot of heat stroke episodes, which we know from experience, because again, this happens yearly, is fun.
Sometimes multiple times a year.
Multiple times a year. We all just want to reminisce together on the last time there was a major heat wave in our house, and Max came home from work, and she was like, I can't believe we have to stay in this house. It's 99 degrees. And I was already on the way out the door because I had found somebody on Tinder to let me come into his house because it had air conditioning. I was fully ready to get murdered for the prospect of not being in a 99 degree house anymore.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Considering that you sleep in 99 degree heat every night.
I sleep in 82 degree heat every night.
The same.
I guess. And I'm also, I think, a fairly cautious person when it comes to, like, men. Except that, no, I'm not. Because I fully was like, what's your house like? And he was like, cold as a freezer. I was like, good.
And where is it?
In a morgue.
I got to feel really cool earlier this week because I only leave my house to go to work and the store. But we went out with our friend Chris and did a ghost tour, and it was like late night, and it was like a little bit chilly, but not like cold. It was like a nice like 65, 70 degrees. And Chris and Janie were both like, oh my God, it's so cold out here. And I was wearing like a tank top and a skirt and tights. And I was like, I'm fine. This is great for me. And I was like, wow, I'm the coolest person here.
You were not the coolest person because I was 10 degrees colder than everyone there.
Hmm.
Or maybe I just whined like I was 10 degrees colder.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was that one. You big baby.
I know. Yeah, guys, welcome back to another episode.
Welcome back to it.
Yeah. If you guys are sitting here like, wow, I'm all caught up, so I have to wait a whole week between episodes, and that's dumb. Guess what? You don't have to do that. We have like 14 bonus episodes that you could listen to if you wanted. Max, tell them how they can listen to those 14 bonus episodes.
Absolutely. You can get to those by going to our Patreon. The link is in the description for this episode and every episode. You click on that little link, and you can choose either $3 a month, which will get you access to the Discord, which includes access to the book club, or you can pay us $7 a month, and you get access to the Discord plus access to the bonus episodes. There's one bonus episode that drops every month. Mm-hmm. They are full-length episodes, normal episodes, except a little bit weirder, because my mom can't listen to them.
Our mom.
Hi, Mom.
Our mother. Cannot,
our mom.
Cannot listen to those episodes. Not allowed.
My mom, Barb.
Starbra. We also do a little Q&A at the end of those, and it's a fun time. Go join us over there on the Patreon.
So if you've ever had any questions for us that we didn't immediately answer because we are both the openest books that any two people have ever been.
This is true.
Then you could do it there.
I don't know.
Is that worth $7 to you?
I think we might be too open.
I know. We need to be more secretive.
We're at so we can get people over to the Patreon. 27. And people are like, I don't need to listen to those. They can't be any weirder than they are.
But they are, though.
Oh, but they are.
But they are,
but
though.
They are. Don't worry.
But they are.
Yeah. Speaking of the book club, Max, how's that going? How are we doing on the book club?
We are.
Listeners, raise your hand if you've already read Mountains Made of Glass by Scarlett St. Clair.
Listen, we've been recording fucking nonstop for the past 3 weeks.
You had 4 whole days without me. Did you miss me so much?
I did.
Good. As it should be.
Yeah, I spent most of the time panicked cleaning the house and then drinking beer until 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Max still had to go to work, too, so she's been really burning it at both ends.
Doing really good. I've gotten really far into the TV series Once Upon a Time. So.
Cool.
That's what I did while
Speaking
you were
Speaking of fairy tales like folk tales, Once Upon a Time.
I said this in the Discord already, which you would know if you're in the Discord, but unfortunately, I am not immune to yassified Captain Hook.
No one is.
Guys, I was like, I came in ready. I was like, I know that this guy's a piece of shit. I'm not going to fucking.
Nope. Colin O'Donoghue does something special with that role.
Truly.
The first big thing that he does is he pulls Emma into him with his hook. Like, he hooks it into her shirt and pulls her closer and then, like, wraps her hand using one hand and his teeth. And Max and I both were like,
That was really good. It was like, really the, like...
Like him... two ants looking at firefighters walking across the street. Like, it was real bad.
Yeah, that was really good for me.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways.
This isn't a plug for Once Upon a Time, but if you want it to be, join the Discord and let us know. Okay. Max.
Janie.
Episode 127.
Wow, that's a multiple of 9?
No.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it can't be.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Unless it is.
I just don't think it's possible that it can be.
10. Yeah, you're right.
And in summation, 10. Which is why I'm right.
Multiples of 9, if you add together the digits, are always divisible by 3.
Yeah.
So it comes out to 10.
And and up until you reach 90, if you add them together, they equal 9. So like 27, 2 plus 7 equals 9.
But 127 is over 90.
Yes, I know. But then I'm just saying, I don't know if it counts after 90, but up until 90, like 36, 3 plus 6 equals 9.
Mm-hmm.
And 45, 4 plus 5 equals 9. This is how I learned how to do my 9 times tables. And I showed my kids that because they made me do math in art class. And we were doing 9 times tables. And the kids were like, 9s are kind of hard. And I was like, they're not hard if you can add. And then we sat there doing it. And it was like I revealed a magic trick. That was great.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
My trick is always do the thing times 10 minus itself. So 3 times 10, 30 minus 3, 27.
Mm.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. My brain just glazed over as you were talking.
I mean, you can do big numbers too. You can do like 1200 times 9, and then that's going to be 12,000 minus 1200. So it'll be like 11,000. 800.
I'm proud of you. Max looks very proud. She has both hands on her hips like Peter Pan.
I did math today. Also, if I'm wrong,
Shut up! You don't have a podcast. I'm judging her.
We're podcasters.
If you're so into math and podcasts, fucking start your own math podcast.
Tell us math.
Sort of teaching you math.
You nerds.
With me, a nerd. That's you. That's my impression of you. God, I'm so mad at them.
You know,
Janie. They don't even deserve a story, but I think we should give them one.
I do think that we should give them one.
I do have a silly one. This is for Max. This isn't for you.
I thought they were all for me.
No.
Shit.
A lot of times they're for me.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
But I do have one specifically that I think that you will have a great time with. Are nice. You ready to
I'm ready.
Hear it?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it, guys. I guess we'll be back. Stay here if you want. Okay, Max.
Okay, Janie.
Max, okay. Today I am bringing you a story from a book that looks like a old school
like
cookbook.
Like a butt?
From a butt. Today I'm bringing you a story from a book that looks like an old school cookbook. It's called Italian Folk Tales.
By Italo Calvino?
Yes, collected and retold by Italo Calvino.
We both have this book.
I know, and it's fantastic. Honestly, I forget that it's fantastic because it doesn't have a flashy cover. It looks like an old school cookbook.
Yes.
But every story is funny. And what I learned today, not learned, but I was reflecting over how when I pick up an Italian folktale, I know kind of the vibe I'm going to get. Like, it's not going to scar me for life. It might be a little violent, but it's always going to be very silly.
Yeah, it's usually two people fall in love, but they're enemies, and then one of them pretends to be a doctor, and then they end up together.
Yeah, or like, there's going to be at some point, food will be part of this.
Yes.
You know?
Like, there will be a food test.
And it's going to be about lovers.
Yeah.
And so, it's very fun and goofy, and I know that if I want to have a good time, I'm going to pick up the Italian folktales. The French folktales are dark. And usually they're only like half a page long and they're very sexist.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the longer ones, you'll get like into like some pretty dark, heavy, like sexy stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Also though, like the moral of all of them, like the punchline is always an anti-punchline.
Yeah.
Where like the moral of them is like, yeah, and even if you're really good, you can still be murdered.
Sacre bleu. Yeah. But like, voulez-vous que c'est avec moi?
C'est soi.
So, and then the Japanese folktales are always going to be, like, well, at least, to be fair, we specifically really only tell the Japanese ones that have monsters in them. But that's, like, a bunch. That's most of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like, something that I've been noticing recently is that the plot of a lot of Japanese stories is the same as the plot of a lot of, like, cowboy Western movies.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, a stranger comes into town. There's a problem. He has to figure it out. And he's the only one who can.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out it was something you never would have expected.
Yeah.
He defeats it. And now he's the mayor.
Now he's the mayor. But, like, so, like, each culture has its own very specific vibe, mm-hmm. which I was just kind of thinking, like, ruminating on that as I was going through my silly book of Italian folktales. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So I'm bringing you today a silly one from Italian folktales, retold by Italo Calvino. And it is Filo d'Ora and Filomena.
Gold file. And?
Gold thread.
Oh.
And Filomena is, they say in the story that it's a word for nightingale.
Oh, that's pretty. I like that.
Yeah.
How is Filo spelled?
Filo is F-I-L-O.
Oh.
Yes.
Huh.
And Filomena is F-I-L-O-M-E-N-A, mm-hmm. which is why nightingale, I'm sure that it's the name of the bird, but I don't, obviously it's not a direct translation.
Yeah.
You know, because Filo de Oro, they say it means golden thread.
That's also interesting that it's nightingale. Filomena is nightingale because Paloma is
dove. Yeah.
I wonder if it's related.
Why would it be related?
Because they sound similar.
Filomena and Paloma?
Yeah.
They don't sound similar to me.
Okay. They do to me.
Filomena, Paloma. I guess they both have three syllables.
No, they have different numbers of syllables. Filomena, well, four.
I'm not, dude, this isn't a math Paloma, podcast.
Oh, three.
God, leave me alone. Start your own podcast, you troll. Anyway.
Maybe I will.
Oh, no.
No, you I won't. I would never do that.
Podcast
I would never want. I would never want that.
What if I walked into this office and you were recording a podcast without me? I just got a little emotional. So close to my birthday. Okay, first line of the story. There was once a shoemaker's daughter named Filomena, whose father and mother were very old.
Oh.
Yeah.
How old was she?
I don't know.
Old?
She was also so old.
They all old here.
One day, her mother told her to go to the market gardener and buy a cabbage for soup. And she's like, if the market gardener, if the farm, he's a farmer, basically. It's like a,
mm-hmm.
it's a, you walk up to the garden and you buy everything there. There's no like market that he goes to.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Oh, so it's like a
pick your own pumpkin in the pumpkin patch kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of cool though.
Yeah.
I wish we lived close to that sort of farm. The mother told her if the farmer wasn't there, Filomena was to pick the cabbage herself and leave money on the ground for him. But her mother warned her like, listen, because you're really bad at deciding between cabbages. I want a regular cabbage. Do not pick a Savoy. S-A-V-O-Y.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a leafy cabbage.
Mm.
It's still a type of cabbage, but it's not the one that she wants.
Mm.
So the girl went to the market garden, and she didn't see the farmer, so she did as she was told. However, she accidentally pulled up a Savoy, the exact wrong type of cabbage that her mother asked her not to pull up.
Did her mother tell her what a Savoy is like?
I'm sure she did.
Well.
Also, Filomena should know.
I mean, I guess.
So she picked the wrong cabbage immediately. In its place, she put down a crown, like a little piece of money.
Mm-hmm.
A little piece of money. As soon as she put the money down, though, it disappeared into the earth, and then the earth opened a little, and she just saw a little crystal window in the ground, and a handsome man appeared in the window and said, quote, come to me, lovely maiden. I'm madly in love with you.
I'm the Cabbage Patch Kid.
It's me, the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Or maybe he's the Cabbage Patch Dad. Like, he's the dad to all of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, my God. She's a stepmom to so many scary babies now. She has to sign all those adoption papers.
Oh, my God.
You know the Cabbage Patch Kids came
Who's
with adoption
pay for
papers.
Them to go to college?
Hopefully this man. Anyway, okay. Philomena did not need to be told twice. She immediately jumped in through the window and found herself kissing this hot stranger. She's like, I'm fine with this. Good for me, actually. Mm. They were in a room fit for a queen. The man said, I am Philo d'Oro, and you will be my bride. And then he gave her a bag of money and was like, go home to your parents and every day come back and see me. And he said, you can find me in the same place. Just whenever you get here to where this Savoy was, pull it up, and then that's how you'll find me. And every time she pulled it up, the way that she was going to summon his little window was to put a gold crown where the roots were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It sounds like a scam.
But he gave her money, so it's fine. But he warned her to make sure that she was the only one who saw him. No one else must ever look upon his gorgeous face.
Mm.
Okay?
Sure.
Don't tell anybody about this. Don't let anybody see my face. Don't even describe it to anyone and give me money every day. Cool?
Cool. Sounds like he's laundering.
It does. It does sound like he's laundering a little bit. She went home and she told her parents all about what happened. And they were like really happy to have money now. And they're like, that's kind of great. Rich, hot, has a job. Does he live in the ground? Lives in the ground. And every day Philomena went back and she'd come back with money each time. So it's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah.
I'm into it. But her mother was dying to see this man. She'd nag and nag, asking her daughter, like, why are you ashamed to let your mother see him? Like, what's wrong with him? I'm your mom. I should be able to see anybody. I can see a face. Love to see a face. Philomena was like, no, because of this very specific reason that he told me about. So, no, you can't go. But her mother would not drop the subject. She was like, no, I really want to see who this is, actually. Which, the story is framing this as, like, the mom is being nosy, but also, like, no, she's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
It's normal to want to meet your daughter's fiance.
Also, we have already identified this as a scam.
Yeah.
Eventually, her mother convinced her to at least show her where this Savoy was. So one morning, Philomena took her mother there and pointed it out. And afterwards, she was like, okay, so now you know where it is. Get out of here so I can meet my future husband. And the old woman was like, okay, here I go. And then she made a big show of walking behind a walnut tree and disappearing. But she didn't disappear. She hid behind that walnut tree.
Sure.
So she could spy. Philomena pulled up the Savoy and threw in the crown, and the little window appeared. But this time, Philo d'Oro did not appear. The old woman was dying to see this man. She's like, where the fuck is he? So she picked up a walnut and she threw it. And it went right through the pane of the window and shattered the window.
Oh.
The panes shattered. And for 1 second, Philo d'Oro's angry face appeared like, wow, my window. And then he vanished along with the window and everything else. And the Savoy grew back where it had been. And Philomena was like, whoa, what the hell happened? And she went to go try to pull it up, but she couldn't pull it up anymore. It was stuck in the ground.
Mm.
So here's the deal with Philo d'Oro. Mm-hmm. Now we need to know his backstory. He was the son of an ogress. My autocorrect changed it to egret. He was the son of an ogress who wanted him to marry a princess. But the fairies had destined him as a baby to marry a shoemaker's daughter. And when she heard this, the ogress was like, damn it! No, no son of mine! So she cursed her son. And she said, quote, may you see only one woman in the world. And should you look upon a second, may you die.
Oh.
Yeah. So healthy. And then, to keep him from seeing anyone, she had shut him up in the castle underground. So the fairies, to help rescue him from this curse, had made sure that the first woman he'd see was Philomena. Right? Sure. I guess his mom didn't count as a woman, which is rude. And also, the fairies made sure that the second he saw her, he would fall madly in love, which to me is the most unromantic thing. That just means that it's not real love. But the minute he had seen her mother, the curse took effect, and he ended up dying in the ogress's arm. So that's what happened, is he saw the mom, and then everything disappeared, and she had to hold her son while he died. Aww. And the ogress was distraught over this. She's like, sure. Oh my god, I can't believe I did this. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? Because she really did love her son, like, a whole lot. And she was just, like, tearing out her hair and weeping. Because Philo d'Oro had been protected by fairies, his body never decayed, so she buried him up to the waist and would visit him every day to look upon his beautiful face.
What?
So he was just, like, sticking up out of the ground, dead.
Huh.
Meanwhile, Philomena was dealing with the disappearance of her husband-to-be, and she left home to search for him. I'm gonna guess she's also mad at her mom.
Hopefully.
One night, she stopped to sleep under an oak tree, and she heard two doves land on the tree above her, and they started to sing. And this is what they were singing. Dead is Philo d'Oro, cuckoo, rucoo!
Catchy.
But on lives lovely Philomena, cuckoo, rucoo! It's hard to say cuckoo, rucoo. Also, the last coup is all in capitals, so there is a cadence.
Mm.
Let her kill us, cuckoo, cuckoo. Then burn us, cuckoo, cuckoo. Then smear him with our ashes, cuckoo, cuckoo. Thus Filo de Oro would she save, and he would rise up from his grave, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
So,
He's so dead. Hope she kills us. La, la, la. Yeah, they're not. They're doves, okay? They're not singer songwriters.
I'm wondering who the songwriter is, though, that's like, I'm going to teach you a song. It's about how someone needs to murder you.
I hope she burns us alive. Cuckoo-roo-coo. And then smears him with our ashes. Lulululu. Filomena waited for the doves to fall asleep. Okay. And then, without a sound, she climbed up the oak and then strangled them to death.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're dead now. From her post, high in the tree, she saw a light coming from the forest, so she climbed down with the dead birds in her hands, and she made her way to a little hut in the middle of the forest. And she knocked on the door and was like, hi, so sorry to bother you, it's late, it's a nice night. Can I burn these birds in your fireplace real quick?
Can I just cremate these little guys?
I need a quick cremation.
Do you mind?
You don't mind, right? Luckily, the hut belonged to a fairy baker who put the doves Ooh. In the fire and sat down while they were burning and listened to Filomena's story. When she was done, the baker said, my daughter, keep the dove ashes in this pot and also carry along this basket of figs with you. Then go up to the ogress's window. You will find her spinning at the window, and to stretch the thread, she lets the spindle down to the ground from the window. You are to pick up the spindle and stick a fig on it. The ogress is going to eat that fig, thank you, and invite you in. But be careful, for she can gobble you up. Don't go in until she was sworn by Filo de Oro's soul not to eat you. Then you'll show her you have the ashes to revive her son and leave everything else to fate. So she got a nice little plan that she can do.
Nice.
The maiden thanked the fairy baker and left to do as he said. When she put the fig on the end of the spindle, the ogress ate it and stuck her head out the window and said, let the good soul who stuck a fig on my spindle come inside so I can kiss you. And Filomena said, no, you're going to eat me. It was born yesterday. And the ogress is like, I'm not going to eat you, I promise. And then she pulled up the spindle again and there's a second fig. And she was like, oh my God, it's so good. I promise I'm not going to eat you. Come on up. And Filomena is like, no, your promises mean nothing. You're a liar. You're going to eat me. And she's like, what? No, I wouldn't. And then she gets like a third like fig. And she's like, I swear by Filo de Oro's soul that I won't eat you. Come on up.
Does this feel like an entendre to you?
Figs are sexual for sure.
Putting a fig on a spindle feels like a weird like.
Yeah.
Like a really weird antiquated sex joke.
That, I mean, that's very Italian.
It is. It absolutely is.
So at this, Filomena climbed the stairs leading up to the window. But when the ogress learned that the figs were from Filo d'Oro's wife, they call her his wife sometimes, she took the pot away from her and used the ashes to revive her son herself. Then she shut him up underground again so he couldn't see Filomena and made quick plans to have him married to that princess that she loved. So she learned not one thing.
Okay.
So hearing this, that she was like, cool. She sent word. She's like, wedding's back on and we're making it real soon. Hearing this, the fairies who had already decided his fate were like, really? What?
I think not, actually.
So they decided to fix the situation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think they were like...
They kill him again.
They chop off his head. No, they fix the
situation. They poison her figs.
No.
They turn her thread into knives.
Oh, wait.
Stab her a thousand times. They turn him into a goose.
They turn him into a goose. That is actually kind of what I would expect. They fix the situation by putting a curse on the princess.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 month, the earth shall yawn under her feet and she shall fall into hell.
Why put a delay on it?
I don't know, but also that princess did nothing. She has no character in this.
Filo de Oro didn't do anything either.
Yeah, but the fairies aren't cursing him. They're mad at his mom, so they're going to murder a woman.
Yeah.
They're sending her.
I'm just saying it's
not
it's
just murder a woman.
Bad.
Not just murder a woman. They are sending her to hell. So, like, uh-huh. Her afterlife is going to suck. Meanwhile, she kept Philomena as a servant and tried to find excuses to eat her because she had already, like, she's like, I need an excuse. Otherwise, I made that oath for nothing. So one day, she told her to make 5 down mattresses for Fila de Oro, who was getting married. She had to fill them all with down in 24 hours or the ogres would eat her. Ha ha. And then she left. But there was, like, no down around her. She had mattresses and no feathers, and she was, like, locked in a room. And she's like, well, what the fuck? Where am I supposed to get all the feathers? And so she kind of wrung her hands and wept.
She
wrung her hands.
She wrung her hands.
You're not allowed to judge how her grief process works.
It's a lot of charcuterie-based mourning.
That's the third stage of grief, actually, is wringing your hams.
So the fourth one is spicing your hams.
And the fifth one is slapping your hams.
The sixth one's smoking your hams.
And then you eat it.
And you're then no you longer... slice your hams, and then you eat your hams.
Yeah, you're no longer sad. Congratulations, we fixed your depression.
You have hams.
You got some hams? So on top of the hams, she also wrung her hands, and she wept. But Fila de Oro had fairy magic in him, and he was able to change his form. So don't worry.
Okay.
He transformed into a man with a beard.
He just grew a beard. Magic beard.
He escaped his underground palace. Beards are magic, okay? Beards are magic.
You're right.
He escaped his underground palace, and he told Philomena, like, he, like, appeared before her, and he's like, hi, want to make out? And she was like, no. She's like all, like, snotty and gross. He's like, I'll get you all the down you want if you make out with me right now. As many feathers as you want to kiss me. And she said, if you were Fila de Oro, I would give you 1,000 kisses. But you're not. You're just some clown with a beard. Get lost, bozo. And the bearded man smiled and disappeared. As soon as he did, birds of all kinds began to fly in through the window. Thousands came and went, shaking their wings and losing their feathers, until there was enough to stuff 5 mattresses around her. So she gathered them all up. She's like, that's so lucky that that storm of birds
flew. Wow.
The ogress was pissed and was like, oh, this, my stupid son did this. I just know he did. And so she was like, basically became determined to win this fight against him. So she told Philomena that she must go to her ogress's sister's house, which was in the Mountain of Entertainment, and, quote, get the music box.
You know what the theme song of the Mountain of Entertainment is?
Mountain of Entertainment.
Nope.
It's a yabba dabba do good time.
Nope. It's my humps.
My humps. My lovely lady humps. They're a yabba dabba do good time.
Cursed.
This is a yabba dabba do good time.
Please, yabba dabba, do not continue.
My humps.
My lovely lady humps.
My lovely lady humps.
Check it out.
Check it out. It's a yabba dabba do good time. To reach the Mountain of Entertainment, you had to cross the River of Serpents, the River of Blood, and the River of Bile.
Is this how you get to LA?
That's how you get to LA. Then you had to go into the ogress's house, which risked being eaten alive. So even if you made it across all those crazy rivers,
yeah,
the ogress is going to eat you. So the maiden sobbed from fear. But of course, at this moment, a man with whiskers... Just more beard.
A different beard?
Who was Fila de Oro in disguise.
Sure.
He's just putting on fake wacky beards.
He's just putting on silly mustaches.
She's like, oh, who are you?
Disgusting.
He appeared before her and said, give me a kiss. And I'll tell you how to get the music box safely. And Philomena said, were you Fila de Oro, I'd give you 1,000 kisses. But I would rather end up in the mouths of both ogresses than give you a single kiss.
Oh,
she's like, I'd rather they eat me like a spaghetti noodle, one on each side.
And they kiss in the middle.
And they kiss in the middle before I kiss you. Moved by her loyalty, he was like, even though you won't kiss me, I'll still help you. She's like, thanks,
oh,
stranger. He told her that when she reached the River of Serpents, she was to shout, oh, what macaroni? It looks so good, I could eat 3 bowls of it.
That's the Italy.
That's the Italy. At the River of Blood, she was to shout, oh, what wine? I'd gladly drink 3 glasses of it. And at the River of Bile, she was to shout, oh, wow, milk. It looks so good. I could drink 3 cups with pleasure.
That's the bio of someone who has lactose intolerance.
Ew. He told her to take a shovel with her, which would come in handy at the ogress's house. And then he disappeared, whiskers and all. Philomena set out and did what the man told her, and each time the river separated and let her walk through safely. She scaled the mountain of entertainment and got to the ogress's house, even though she was scared to death. In the kitchen was a servant, who was a maiden like Philomena. This poor girl had been captured by the ogress and forced into servitude, and 3 times a week she was forced to rake the embers out of the oven with her bare hands and put in the bread, and then to take the bread out with her bare hands. Yeah, she's living a really bad life. As you can imagine, she would suffer terribly from burns each time, but once the bread was baked and removed from the oven, the ogress would magically heal her burns so that she wouldn't die, and then it would just repeat all over again. So she's just being, like, tortured for no reason.
It really feels like the ogress is like, I want my bread to taste like burning hand flesh.
I want my bread to have a little bit of char. Lady char.
Check it out.
Check it out. But when she saw Philomena enter the kitchen, the girl shouted, what the hell? Get out of here! This is not a fun place for people like us. She's gonna eat you. And Philomena responded, if she doesn't, her sister will, so I might as well try to get the stupid music box. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And the servant was like, oh, I know where the music box is. I can get you the music box. Do you want to do a trade for it? And she's like, yeah, what do you want? And she's like, I'll take that shovel. That'll really help me out with the fire. And so they traded, and Philomena went on her way, music box in hand, and the girl was like, this is so much better.
I love shovel.
I'm happy. She's like, I will stay with this ogress forever. I have one upgrade. That's all I needed. When the ogress realized the box was gone, she screamed, I've been robbed. Serpents, eat her alive. And the serpent said, no, she called us macaroni. And they let her pass.
Oh.
That's real. That's a real line in here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was confused. I thought that she was saying those things to, like, distract them. Like, so the snakes would be like, ooh, macaroni? Where?
Look over there. It's some macaroni. No, she was calling them macaroni and they felt bonita. Oh. I love that I was able to quote, kind of an ancient Italian folktale. And the quote is, no, she called us macaroni.
We love her.
She's our mom now. Nobody ever calls me macaroni.
Hey, macaroni.
Oh, I did like it. You may pass. You can die now.
Thank you.
The ogress screamed for the river of blood to drown her, but they said, no, she called me wine, and let her through. And then when she begged the river of bile to drown her, it said, no, I'm milk, and let Philomena free.
Gross.
Yeah, the river of bile's gross as fuck. At least she didn't have to, like, prove herself and, like, drink it, you know?
Ew.
I know. But once the rivers were behind her, Philomena's curiosity got the better of her. She had to know what was in the box. Classic lady. So she opened it, and she heard a zing and an woo, and then nothing else. That was it. Those are also quotes. The box was empty now. The music and song had escaped. So Philomena burst into tears. She's like, I'm an idiot. And I just like the idea of, like, you can hear the woo, like flying away into the distance. At that moment, a man with sideburns came up to her. and he said, will you give me a kiss? Big ol' mutton chops.
And she's like, well, absolutely. I've had a bunch of men hitting on me, but they all had beards, and I'm not into that.
I am into the chops.
Yeah, you gotta have a little runway right here for kisses.
Amongst other things. Coming in for a landing. He said, will you give me a kiss? I'll get the music and song back in the box for you. This is a dirty story.
She said, put some music in your box.
She said, get out of here. No kisses for anyone but Philo D'Oro. At which point the man said, I am Philo D'Oro. And he ripped off his sideburns. And he was her handsome husband. She threw her arms around him and gave him 1,000 kisses, while music and song came back into the box and rang out through the countryside, which then it didn't come right back in. Philo D'Oro promised her that they would be married in 3 days, because he had a plan. So overjoyed, the maiden returned to the ogress with the music box. While she'd been away, the ogress had been convinced that her sister had eaten her, so she had started planning the wedding to the princess. So when Philomena walked into the door, she was fucking pissed. She's like, damn it. And she told her that during the wedding, she'd hold the candlestick. Take that.
What?
She's just a candlestick holder.
Oh.
Basically, she would have to sit there and watch Filo de Oro marry another woman.
Ah.
For his part, Filo de Oro seemed to be into the idea of the wedding, but he insisted it take place at midnight, kind of at the last minute, so all the guests were sitting there for, like, hours, like, getting antsy. So he was just like, just to be difficult. But he eventually did come out, his bride on his arm, and everyone kind of turned and looked at them, and the music started to play. But suddenly, the church bells chimed. Dong, 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 12 strokes. That's a quote.
Dong, dong, dong.
Dong, 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 12 strokes. Quote. And then at this point... quote, the earth yawned beneath the princess and she disappeared into the flames. And Filo de Oro stepped over the chasm, took Philomena's hand, and said, this is my bride. And heavenly music wafted from the music box. And they got married then and there. And the ogress stomped her feet and put her hands to her forehead. And she said, quote, you who have charmed my son can have a baby without dying in childbirth only when I put my hands to my forehead like this. So, fucking die, bitch. Meanwhile, they hear this, like,
again, why is she making it so complicated? Why not just be like, you die now. You're dead. I killed you.
I thought pitchforks were a myth! Oh, God! The bees have teeth! Philomena was really upset about this. But Filo de Oro was like, don't worry about it, babe. You'll be fine.
We'll just adopt.
We'll adopt. That's all. And we'll never fuck. And she's like, I want out.
What? Never mind, actually.
Made you shave for nothing. A while later, Philomena became pregnant. When it was time to have the baby, Filo de Oro told her to go to his mother, dressed all in black, and tell her that he was fucking dead. So Philomena dressed on all black and went to the ogress. When she was asked why she was in mourning clothes, she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Your son is dead. He fucking died. He's gone forever.
Rip.
Yep. And the ogress put her hands to her forehead and burst into tears and said, my poor son! At which point, Philomena had the baby right there. No risk. And this is the last lines of the story. Filo de Oro came in, and seeing him alive, the ogress forgave him and his wife and blessed the baby. So they lived in peace all the rest of their days. The end.
That's really good.
Yeah. I liked all of his disguises. I thought that was fun.
Italy.
Italy. Italy. But that's what you were saying about, like, the girl comes in and somebody dresses up like a doctor. Like, there are antics. There are, like, sitcom level.
Consistently.
Wacky disguises. Usually it's not magic based. It's just fucking wig based. Like,
you put on a shirt that says, I'm a doctor.
I'm Dr. Boobs, MD. So, like, I like that. Very Italy. I like... that she got past a bunch of snakes because she complimented them by saying, wow, look at all this macaroni. They were like, yum, we yum, love yum, you. Yum. You're our mom now. You think we're macaroni?
Great. Eat us.
Slurp us up. Yum, yum, yum. Yeah, there's a lot I liked about this story.
I really liked it. I would like to pitch an alternate ending.
Is that the princess doesn't have to go to hell? She just gets to go home?
Oh, no, that's fine.
No, no.
In order to get the ogress to put her hands on her forehead, they come in the middle of the night and they put, like, icing on her forehead and then they put a mirror right in front of her. So when she wakes up in the morning, she'll be like, oh, no.
They, like, take one of those little, like, feather dusters and they slightly tickle her forehead.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just saying it could be hijinkier.
It could be jinkier. Here's some notes. This is ATU type 425, The Search for the Lost Husband. It is very similar to the story of Eros and Psyche. Mm. And so going further into that tale type, it falls under ATU type 425B, The Son of the Witch. So searching for a husband, also the husband is the son of, like, a magical evil woman. And in that one, a woman has to perform tasks for her husband's family, usually just her mother-in-law, to prove her worth. The main version of this tale is from Sicily. It's called The King of Love, and it was collected by Giuseppe Pitre. This variant was collected by Domenico Camporetti, and it's from Basilicata, which is another part of Italy.
Oh.
Yeah, but there's just, like, this is an extremely Italian story. Like, this is the
Mamma
most...
Mamma Mia.
This is the most Mamma Mia story that we can get to. Guys, we watched Mamma Mia.
We watched Mamma Mia.
Yeah. Max had never seen the actual movie.
I've seen the play several times, but I had never seen the movie, and I wept.
Wept.
We both wept.
We both just sat there weeping. And then we watched Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And boy, what a fucking shit show. Why did they do that? But when I tell you there's one scene in that movie that I was like, this is stupid. I hate this. Like, they ruined everything. There's one scene in that movie that made me cry harder than I have cried in a very long time.
And in Mamma Mia 2? Oh, yeah. I just
could not get over it. And I just continued to weep for like the next hour. But that's because I was riding the high of the first one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mamma Mia. Here we go again.
Mamma Mia.
That's my story. Did you like it?
It's a good story. I really liked it.
Do you want to take a break? I almost said, do you want to take a bath? I think I have
to. I mean.
You want to take a bath?
I'm good, but you can.
Max does not like baths.
I don't. It's just a soup of you.
You don't like my me soup?
No.
No. Well, you're not invited to the next party. Let's take a little break and then come back and hear your tale.
Let's do it.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Okay, Janie.
Okay, Max.
The story that I have for you today is from India, which you can tell because the book is called Tales of India, Folk Tales from Bengal, Punjab, and Tamil Nadu. It's illustrated by Swabhu Kohli and Viplav Singh, and the illustrations are very cool. I won't let you look at this. I don't know why I opened it.
I've already kind of seen a big part of it. You opened it and I saw something cool.
You'll live.
I'll pretend I didn't.
But this story is called The Son of Seven Mothers.
Okay.
Yeah, which I saw that and I was like, wow, so many moms. And that's why I'm telling it.
Good.
Wow. This story is from Punjab. It originally was published in Tales of the Punjabi, Told by the People by Flora Annie Steele with notes by R.C. Temple. There once was a king. He had seven wives.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He had no children. Though. So he had no heirs to the throne. And this was very upsetting for him because he wanted someone to be able to pass his.
Yeah. You imagine he would keep getting married because he needed children.
Probably how he ended up with seven wives.
Yeah. You at this point, dude, it's you. You're the issue.
I mean,
it's not any of these women.
Yeah. The story also treats that as, like, a little weird that he has seven wives.
Yeah, because he was probably like, I can't believe she hasn't given me an heir yet. After, like, wife number three, you gotta be like, oh, no. Well, nobody's told him how to have sex yet is the problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and all the wives are like, yeah, I don't know why it's not working. Weird.
So crazy.
Are you going out and rubbing that stone by the river every day like we told you? Still no babies?
I mean, you're massaging my feet every night. I can't imagine why I'm not pregnant yet.
Try giving me some more money. Let's see if that helps. Every time there's a new wife, she's like, well, I thought on our wedding night, and you just see six other heads popping in the room like, no, 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 no.
He was like, well, did you like it when I fed you chocolate or no?
I'm feeling pretty fertile. Gotta say.
So he has seven wives, no children. A seer tells him that his prayers to have a child have been answered. Oh. The gods have gifted him with fertility and an heir. All seven of his seven wives are going to have a baby.
Oh. Okay.
0 to 100. So from that point, the queens are taken, like, as much as they were treated as queens before, even more so. Like, they all find out that they're pregnant at the same time, and they are waited on hand and foot.
This is, like, really dangerous, though. Like, there will be question over, I'm assuming first wife would have seniority and her child would be the heir, but if they're all having children at the same time and there is a hierarchy, this is how people start fucking killing kids in palaces. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, I should mention this at the top. There is, this story has cannibalism.
Oh, no.
Upsetting eyeball stuff. And murdering babies.
I am surprised you're doing a story with upsetting eyeball stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fine with all three of those things. Bring it on, baby! No notes!
Well, Janie is fine with cannibalism. You heard it here first.
Army Hammer, call me.
She'll ring your hams.
I will ring your hams. Just let me ring your hams, man. Janie Rabideau was not into cannibalism.
Paid for by the Georgia Senate.
The Georgia Senate would like you to know that she does not want Armie Hammer to call you. Her.
Hmm.
Don't call you. Call me.
Armie Hammer, never make a phone call.
Armie Hammer, not allowed near phones. Mm. Not allowed within 50 feet of a phone.
So, all of the queens are, like, even more so, weighted on hand and foot. They have everything that they could conceivably want. They spend their lives in just absolute luxury mm-hmm. while they are pregnant with these children. The king sets up, he's like, we're going to have feasts and parties across the land when these babies are born. It's going to be fantastic. He, like, commands everyone in the kingdom to prepare for this massive party for when all of his sons are born.
Mm-hmm. Sons.
Yes.
Classic.
The seer did say each of his seven wives will have a son.
Okay.
I should have clarified that.
All right.
So he's like, we're going to have so many sons. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to have a party. But the king also has hobbies. He likes hunting.
Okay.
And the morning before he's supposed to go on a hunt, all seven of his wives wake up at the same time from horrible nightmares. And they all converse, discuss, and they go to the king and they say, my king, we know that you have to go hunting because you want to and you get whatever you want.
You don't have to go hunting, actually.
But we would beg you, we've all had nightmares last night,
yeah.
that if you hunt to the north, something terrible will happen. So please just promise that you, when you're hunting, hunt only to the south. Don't go north or something awful, terrible will happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, of course. Oh, my sweet, beautiful angels. Of course I will only hunt to the south. I will never, ever hunt to the north. Don't worry. I'll be safe. Nothing bad will happen. You're safe here with me.
I don't feel it's like... fine. No, I feel like maybe he's going to do something stupid like hunt in the north.
So the king goes hunting. He goes south. Mm-hmm. A man of his word.
Sure.
But there's nothing there.
No.
So he goes east and there's nothing there. And then he goes west and there's nothing there. And he's like, well, obviously I'm not going to go home empty-handed. So I guess I can just go north. So he starts hunting to the north. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that he said he wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
As he's hunting, there's more wildlife in this area. And he's sort of deciding what to go after. And then he sees, like, bounding through a sunlit meadow, mm-hmm. a white hind, a female deer.
Yeah.
Completely
big white ass.
Big white ass. She's got a pog.
My humps. My humps.
He sees a beautiful white hind mm-hmm. in this sunlit meadow, and it has its antlers are completely gold and its hooves are completely silver.
This is clearly some sort of god.
Yeah. 100%.
Sir, don't shoot this.
Don't shoot it. But he sees it and he's like, that's what I have to get. Like mm-hmm. immediately he is seized with the hunter's bloodlust and he's like, I have to get this. So he has all of his men surround the hind in this meadow. You know, hunting.
You know, classic hunting where you have skill.
He has all of his men surround the hind in this meadow and then close in closer and closer so that she is trapped in mm-hmm. the middle. And just as they're close enough that he can probably definitely shoot her, she looks him dead in the eyes and jumps over his head and runs away.
Yeah.
And he goes running after her because he's like, I have to get this deer. All of his men stay behind because they're like, we're not going to chase a deer. Deer are fast.
Yeah.
Why would we do that?
Also, deer are fucking scary.
They are.
They can fuck you up.
Yeah.
And good for them.
They'll kick the fuck out of you.
And they should.
And they should.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Do female deer have antlers?
No.
Okay. She's special. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. They're just for show.
Yeah, they are. Show off, baby.
So the hind bounds over the king mm-hmm. and runs away. And he runs after her, leaving all of his men behind. He follows her and follows her. And he keeps falling further and further behind because she's running so fast. Mm-hmm. And he follows her until he gets to, like, a dead end. It's this ravine that he's, like, in. And he comes to the end of it where there's just, like, a sheer rock wall in front of him. Mm-hmm. And right at the end of the ravine, there's also this, like, broken down old hut. He looks around. He doesn't see the hind anywhere. And he's like, well, I guess I must have lost her somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he prepares himself to, like, turn around and go back home. He knocks on the door of the hut and he asks for a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
A very old woman comes to the door and he's like, please, please, could I have a drink? I've been running for a very long time.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, of course, absolutely. Come inside. And he goes into the house and she's like, daughter, go get him some water.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter comes out carrying a jug of water, which she pours directly into his mouth in a very sexual way.
Hell yeah.
And she has very, very pale skin mm-hmm. and golden hair.
Mm.
And as soon as she pours the water in
and
his mouth.
And she's wearing the silver Gucci boots. Yeah, she is.
Yes. A silver bikini.
She is not subtle.
She has a tattoo of the John Deere deer on her ass.
It says, park it. So, anyway, he's in love.
But she pours water into his mouth in a very sexual way. And he, looking at her, he realizes this is the hind that he's been chasing. And he falls in love instantly.
Yeah.
So he realizes that this woman is the animal that he's been hunting to kill and presumably either eat or mount. Mm-hmm. And he's like, wow, I'm in love with you.
Now he'd like to eat or mount.
Park it.
What? Goo! I just got fucking booed by like a ghoul. You didn't like my joke?
No.
Goo.
I truly don't know what I was going for with that one.
Guys, it's now 10:30 and we took a break to watch an episode of The Nanny, so we're in a weird mood, just so you know. It's weirder now.
Goo.
Goo.
Okay. He knows that she's the hind. Mm. And immediately he falls to his knees and he begs her to marry him.
My eighth wife.
Yeah. He says, be my eighth wife.
Yeah.
And she laughs in his face.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm pretty sure seven wives is all you can handle.
What? You couldn't handle me.
And he's like, no, please. I'm in love with you. You have to be my wife. I will do anything. I will give you anything in the world. And she's like, anything in the world. And he's like, yes, anything. Please. Please. Mm. And so she's like, all right. I want you to go back home. And I want you to go get your seven wives. And pluck out all of their eyes and bring them to me.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, really, husband, something bad will happen to us. Please don't go hunting in the north. Oh, no.
So the king goes back home and he orders all seven of the queen's eyes to be put out.
Ooh.
And then he has them all thrown into the dungeon.
Why? They did nothing. They're all pregnant.
Yeah, but what if his new wife is jealous?
What if?
He takes out all of their eyes and he brings all 14 eyes back to the hind.
Ugh.
And he brings them in like a sack and he's like, here you go. Now we can get married, right?
Ziploc bag.
And she's like, yeah, now we can get married. And she strings all of the eyeballs into a necklace and gives it to her old mother and says, wear that, little mother, as a keepsake whilst I am away in the king's palace. And her mother puts on a necklace of eyeballs.
Yeah, those don't preserve though. Like, what?
They do in this case.
Turn into
so they're
going
to stay gooshy.
You know what would be grosser?
What?
Than this?
What?
Is if he put it in a piping bag and then she turned it into eye icing. Icing. Oh no, I accidentally. I may have gone too far. Icing. You don't like icing?
That genuinely almost made me throw up.
Oh dear.
I'm not good with eyeballs.
No.
Not good.
Not good with eyeballs.
No, no, no. And so she goes away with the king. She returns with him to his palace and he gives her all seven of his wives' things. So she has seven wives' worth of clothes and mm-hmm. jewelry and servants and food. And even as much as she is a witch, spoilers, not spoilers.
Okay.
She's a witch. Even as much as she is like a witch and witches can never be satisfied, she is as well off as a witch could conceivably ask to be.
Yeah.
Like she has literally everything she wants in the world. This man is completely bewitched by her.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah.
The queen.
It's at the end.
Got him. And that's the story of the necklace of eyeballs. All seven of the queens, meanwhile, are in the dungeon, underground,
mm-hmm.
left for dead.
Oh, no.
Not receiving food.
Nobody's feeding them?
No.
This is so fucked up.
Not at all. Everyone who knows that they are down there is determined to leave them there to starve.
Why?
Because have you seen how hot the king's new wife is?
It's true. I'm imagining like Kate Blanchett.
I'm imagining Pamela Anderson.
I wouldn't let seven women die for Pamela Anderson. I will let seven women die eyeless for Kate Blanchett. Notice me, Mom!
Yikes. Got some real, what's it called?
Notice
Electra me, complex going on.
Some what?
Electra complex.
Electra, like Hannibal Lecter?
No.
Well, then I don't know what you mean.
The Electra complex is the female equivalent of the Oedipal complex.
Oh, Electra.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said the Lecter complex. I was like, well, I'm not going to eat.
Lecter, I hardly know her.
I'm not going to eat her. Kate Blanchett, notice me. For the rest of the story, I'm picturing Kate Blanchett.
For those of you listening at home or wherever you are, Janie has on multiple occasions stated outright that she is straight except for Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett is my hall pass from heterosexuality. Is that a thing?
Maybe.
I would do whatever that woman told me to. I love her so much.
Well. So all seven of these brides, the queens, are thrown into the dungeon and left to die. After a couple of days, the first one of them goes into labor.
Oh, no.
It's going to be really upsetting for about 5 minutes from here on out.
Okay.
The first one of them goes into labor.
Mm-hmm.
She gives birth to a healthy baby boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And all of the queens are so, so hungry.
No! What? No!
And they tear the baby apart, and each of them takes 1/7 of the baby and eats it.
Okay.
And then the next day, the second one goes into labor and gives birth to a beautiful, healthy baby boy.
Oh, my God.
And they're still so, so hungry, and so they tear apart this baby and eat it.
I feel like they can wait a day.
No. They got a taste for it now.
Yeah, they like it, actually.
And this continues. Each day, one of the seven queens gives birth to a baby boy,
mm-hmm.
and they all rip it into 7 pieces. Jesus. And consume it.
Christ.
Thusly.
Ew. Babies are all covered in goo.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the only gross thing.
It's got vitamins in it.
Oh, God.
Just a little marinade.
Blah, 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 blah.
So, over the course of 7 days, a week, mm-hmm. All 7 of the queens give birth to a son.
Mm-hmm.
However, one of them, the youngest queen, from the very first day, she has been keeping a secret.
Oh.
Every day that she has given her 1/7 of a baby. She pretends to eat it,
uh-huh.
and she tucks it away in a secret corner of the dungeon cave that they are all in.
Okay.
So for 7 days, while everyone else is eating, she is keeping 1/7 of a baby, mm-hmm. of various babies,
yeah.
in a little corner in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
On the 7th day, she's the youngest queen. They give birth in order of age.
Mm-hmm.
She's the last one to give birth, and immediately the other 6 queens, like, start trying to tear into her baby, and she snatches Ooh. Him back from them.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, I have forgone my portion every day. I have 6 portions. You can each have 1/6 of a baby. Mm-hmm. You don't need my son.
Yeah.
And so she produces all of the baby pieces.
Well, good for her.
And the other queens are furious that she's had the foresight to do this, mm-hmm. while all of them have just eaten their sons.
Yeah.
But they are so hungry that they eat all of the bits. And her son is able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
He grows up, and initially the queens are, like, mad at him, mad at his mom, because
yeah.
they didn't think of that. And, you mm-hmm. know, they're like, wow, she's so conniving that she wouldn't eat a baby.
Yeah, but she's also starving to death.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You can lick those cave walls, get some salt.
Mm.
Salty, salty she cave walls.
She craves that mineral.
I could live off salt for a while.
You could.
Yeah.
Just slowly embalming yourself.
Nom, 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 nom. Listen, she is starving to death, but how does she still look so fresh? Nom, nom, nom.
So, the youngest queen and her baby, she raises this boy, and he grows up very, very quickly in this cave.
How?
Magic, Janie.
Okay.
Obviously.
Like, they don't... Okay, sorry, go ahead. I'm not going to ask any more questions. Obviously, it's magic. Kate Blanchett is a witch. Okay.
Everyone's a witch in this. Don't worry.
Good.
So initially the queens like hate this little boy. They're like, it should have been my son and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But from like, he starts growing up very rapidly, and almost from the day that he is born, he starts digging a hole out of the tunnel. And they're like, okay, well, this could come in handy, actually. Actually, this might be fine. And it doesn't say so in the story, but I think the implication is the same idea of like, you know, in Dapplegrim, how he like nurses from all of the fillies in the herd and stuff like that, and he becomes the strongest horse in the world.
That makes a lot of sense.
I think it's a similar, it doesn't say like, and he breastfeeds on all of them, but like he's does for sure.
Do you think, this is weird, could they all live by drinking breast milk?
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Run out of vitamins.
You wouldn't, because you're getting the vitamins, and if you all are just swapping back
dehydration
and forth, no, you wouldn't.
They also pee.
I didn't ask that.
I'm just saying the overall content of water will decrease over time because they will pee.
Yeah, but babies don't drink water.
And they don't pee.
Babies pee constantly. They never not pee. I'm just saying, I feel like this could be how they survived.
Mm.
Listen. You always have a lot of people in caves doing weird shit.
Is there a better place?
To do weird shit than in a cave?
Yeah.
I feel like I just cracked why they were all living. If you're a doctor, tell me if I can live off breast milk.
Just Google it, Janie.
I really can't.
Spoilers for the nanny.
Oh, no.
No, you know this.
Oh, I was like, is there an episode where she breastfeeds?
No, spoilers for the nanny. Janie Googled, when do the nanny and Mr. Sheffield sleep together? And they were like, it's season 2, episode 8 or whatever it is. And so we were so excited getting up to this episode. We were like, finally, it's going to happen. And the joke of the episode is that they literally sleep together. Like, she gets really fucked up and wanders into his room and falls asleep in his bed.
Yeah.
And that's the joke of it. And I was like, JD, if you only had the balls to Google when do they fuck, this would not have happened.
Guys, my Google is pristine. I think that, like, 90s, like, the horror stories of, like, search histories and, like, parents finding stuff really got to me, because I do not search anything weird on my devices. I go to the library for that shit.
That's way weirder.
I don't do that. I just never have any information I want. Go ahead.
I made a picture of Doc from Snow White.
Yes, you did.
With boobs. And I had to Google the word boobs several times.
Max, what? That's weird.
And it doesn't matter, because I'm the only one who uses my phone. And also, so what? What if I just wanted to see some boobs? I'm an adult. I can do that.
That's so weird.
It's my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Gwen Stefani.
I'm sorry. I think you mean Bon Jovi.
No.
It's my life. It's now or never. I'm gonna live forever.
Okay, Missouri.
I can't remember the next line. I just wanna live while I'm alive. Alive. It's my life. My heart is on an open highway. Like Ricky said, I did it my way. It's definitely Frankie, not Ricky.
Like Ricky said, Ricky Gervais.
Like Ricky said, I did it my way.
Anyways.
Now I can't even remember what Gwen Stefani song you were talking about. It's all John.
It's Jovi. My life. Don't you forget.
That's not a Gwen Stefani song.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
It's No Doubt.
It's not.
Which is Gwen Stefani.
There's no tune to that. I don't recognize it. So no, it's not.
We'll come back to this.
You're not going to sing it.
No, I'm not going to sing it.
I need to know it.
I
sing it.
No, I'm not going to.
I sing a whole Bon Jovi song.
No, you didn't.
Sing for us.
The problem is that part doesn't really have a tune, and I can't think of the rest of the words.
It's my life. It's now or never. I ain't going to live forever, Bon Jovi. This is a hard story to get through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm finding myself desperately trying not to get through the story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's been breastfeeding. He's strong as a bull.
He's so strong.
He's digging a tunnel Andy Dufresne style.
Yeah, he is strong as bull. He starts digging this tunnel out of the
cave.
Tunnel.
Cave.
He starts digging a tunnel out of the dungeon. And very quickly, he's able to break through the muddy walls and get out into the world.
Nice.
And he's the only one who goes out because the queens are blind. Oh, from having no eyes.
Oh, God. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. He goes out into the world and he begs for food for his mothers and himself. And he is such a delightful boy. Everyone loves him. Like, he, again, is like growing at an unusual pace because of all the breast milk.
Yeah.
He's growing at an incredibly rapid pace. And he's just this like very, very sweet, charismatic, funny little kid mm-hmm. who just walks up and is like, hey, do you have any food? And so everyone constantly gives him anything extra that they have. So he's able to bring home like sweetmeats and breads and vegetables and everything for his moms mm-hmm. And prepare them and everything and split them exactly eight ways between himself and his moms who are all in the cave. This sustains them for a long time.
Yeah.
To the point that he becomes a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
When he is grown, he takes a bow and arrow that he got somehow and goes hunting for food. He's tired of begging. He wants to go and hunt for food for his moms. He goes out hunting, and as he's heading towards the woods, he passes by the palace of the king and the white queen, they call her, the Hind.
Mm.
And he sees right at the top of the palace, there is a whole flock of pigeons nesting. And he takes his bow and arrow and he shoots the fattest pigeon. And it falls down from the roof of the palace, past the Hind's window, and down to the ground. And he mm-hmm. goes to collect it. But like seeing this shape flutter past the window, the Hind, who is, again, a very well-kept queen at this point,
mm-hmm.
she looks out to see who has... like, what happened? And she sees the pigeon on the ground, and then she sees a strapping young man who she immediately identifies because of witchcraft as mm-hmm. the king's son, holding a bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And she is so furious that she almost dies on the spot. It almost. Says that in the story. She's so mad she almost fucking dies. But she instead hatches a plan, and she's like, I'm going to make sure that this boy is out of the way. So that if I have a child, my child would be the only heir to the throne. So she gets one of her servants and tells them to bring the boy who shot the pigeon to her. The servant goes, gets him, brings him in. And she says that she would like to buy the pigeon from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, you can't. This is for my moms. All seven of my blind moms who live in a cave. They can't take care of themselves and they need to eat.
Yeah.
So no, you can't have this pigeon.
But for money. Yes, you can take money.
But they'll be so hungry. They can't eat money.
Oh, no. our poor stupid cave son.
He doesn't know anything.
Oh, poor stupid cave son.
He doesn't know even one thing.
Not even one thing.
And so he's like, no, you can't have this pigeon. I have to bring it home to feed to my seven blind moms.
One pigeon?
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, I'm sure that will help your moms, but a nice meal isn't what they need. What they need is to not be blind anymore.
That's true.
That is true.
That would help a lot.
And he's like, wow, that would be really good, but I don't have eyeballs. And she's like, well, I do. And if you sell me that pigeon, I will tell you where to get your mom's eyeballs so that they don't have to be blind anymore. Okay. He's like, well, that seems like a fair price.
No questions.
Again, for this story, I feel like he does not know anything. I can excuse a lot for him in this story because he literally does not know anything. Because
he was literally raised in a cave.
Yeah, by seven blind moms.
And we don't know how old he actually is.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
And I would do anything for Cate Blanchett.
So he gives her the pigeon and mm-hmm. she tells him where to find the eyeballs. She's like, go to the home of my mother and tell her that I, her daughter, the queen, need her to give you the necklace of eyeballs that I left her as a keepsake all those years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll believe you because you'll bring this note with you. And she really quickly writes down a note and she gives it to the boy and she's like, take this and she will believe you. She will give you the eyeballs and then you'll be able to save your moms from being blind.
Okay.
The note says, kill the bearer at once.
Oh, God.
And sprinkle his blood like water.
Just another fucking bear boy story.
This is another bear boy story.
Yeah. You have certain things that you like. You like caves and you like bear boy stories.
He's not a bear boy. However, he is illiterate. Because he was raised by seven moms who can't read because they're blind.
Because they're blind. Aw.
So... he obviously never learned to read. So he sees the note and he's like, I don't know what this is. All right. And he sets off. He heads in the direction that she indicated, towards the ravine and her old mother's house. Mm-hmm. On the way, though, he passes through a town where the king's daughter is causing a lot of trouble.
Uh-oh.
The king only has a daughter, and his daughter, although she is of age, mm-hmm. refuses to marry. Mm-hmm. So the king doesn't have an heir. She says that she will only marry a man who is the son of seven mothers. And everyone's like, well, that's impossible. And the son of seven mothers is like, okay, but that doesn't seem like my problem. So I'm going to go.
I am also not going to get married.
So
I guess we're at an impasse.
I refuse to marry someone who does ultimatums.
I don't want to marry anybody unless they also have seven mothers. I want 14 mothers. He's a greedy mother lover. He loves moms.
He loves moms. Man's needs moms.
Man's loves moms.
So he's like, nobody's ever done that, and I'm gonna get out of here. Unrelated goodbye. But as he tries to leave town, mm-hmm. all of the guardsmen stop him, because everyone who comes into town, every visitor to town, is supposed to be brought before the princess for her to vet them to see if they should be
to see if
her
they
husband.
Look like they've had seven moms breastfeed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he is forcibly brought before the princess, and he's like, I've got to go. I've got to give my mom's eyeballs.
And they're like, moms, you say? How many?
Interesting. But he's brought before the princess, and she immediately picks him out of the crowd and is like, that's him. That's the man that's going to be my husband.
Oh.
And he sees her, and he falls in love immediately.
Yeah.
And the king is like, thank God, I won't die without an heir. My reign will continue through my daughter's husband. Mm-hmm. We have to get this done right away. And the young man is like, I'm really sorry, though. I was actually on the way to do something. So I've got to go do that. And then I'll come back. And I promise I'll come back and marry your daughter. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right. And the princess says, what is it that you have to do? And mm-hmm. he's like, well, it's kind of a wacky story. I have seven moms, as you know, and they're all blind. And I shot a pigeon. And then the queen said that she would buy the pigeon for me for the price of information of telling me where I could find my mom's eyeball so they wouldn't be blind anymore. And she sent me this way with this note. And he shows the princess this note. And the princess is very well learned. Mm-hmm. She's had a tutor for her entire life. She speaks several languages. Uh-oh. And she absolutely can read.
Yeah.
So she reads the note, which says, kill the bearer of this note, sprinkle his blood like water.
She kills him immediately because she does as she's told.
Oh,
what a good girl.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to give you a different note.
Yeah.
So
another bear boy story.
It's a bear boy, baby. A b-boy.
A b-boy b-b.
She replaces the note with a note that says, take care of this lad. Give him all he desires.
Mm, good.
On an almost identical sheet of paper. And she gives it to Bear Boy. No, sorry. She gives it to the young man. And she's like, bring this instead.
I don't know why. I thought I was like, you said his name. And my brain was like, big, stupid Kenneth.
Big, stupid Kenneth.
My brain just fills in the gaps.
He doesn't have a name. And it is really difficult in the telling of the story.
Big, stupid Kenneth.
Big, stupid Kenneth.
Give big stupid Kenneth anything he wants.
He deserves it. Look how big stupid he is.
He's big stupid.
Classic Kenneth.
Oh, take care of big stupid Kenneth.
Give him anything he wants. He's so big stupid.
Kenneth is big stupid.
He's big stupid. All right. Moving on.
Yeah, okay. So what's Kenneth doing?
Big stupid Kenneth takes the new note, and he continues on towards this ravine that he's been directed to. And he gets to the end of the ravine, and he sees this rundown old shack. And he goes up and he knocks on the door. A very old, rude woman opens the door wearing a necklace made of eyeballs. And she's like, what do you want? And he's like, hi, your daughter sent me. She said that you have to give me that necklace made of eyeballs. And she's like, why the fuck would I do that?
Oh, she's rude.
Yeah.
She's big rude.
Big rude. And he's like, she also told me to give you this note. And he gives her the note. And the note says, take care of him. Give him anything he wants. He is so big, stupid. And the old woman is like, oh, God damn it. Because she is terrified of her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Her daughter is a truly, like, terrifying witch. So she has to do what she says. But she's still pissed off because she's like, this is my necklace.
I love this
made
necklace.
Made of eyeballs. And I love it. I got it for Mother's Day. Mother's Day.
Got it from Seven Mother's Day.
Mother's Week.
Oh, every day's Mother's Day for 1 week.
So she reluctantly takes off the necklace of eyeballs and gives it to the young man. And she's like, there's only 13. And he's like, that's fine. And no. She's like, because I got really hungry and I ate one of them.
Ma'am.
And he's like, that's fine. I'll figure it out. And she's like, okay, good. Bye. And he leaves. He returns to...
You know when people wear the candy necklaces uh-huh. and they always just have it in their mouth uh-huh. at all times? That's what I imagine her doing with one of the eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she just ate it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I like that image.
You do?
I do.
That makes one of us. So he brings the necklace of eyeballs back to his moms in the dungeon,
mm-hmm.
and he gives them all their eyeballs back, but there's only 13, and the eyeball that's missing belongs to his young mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she only has one eyeball, and he's like, I'm really sorry. The other eyeball was gone, but I will be your eyes for the rest of your life. I will always be with you. And she's like, that's better than having an eyeball. Better than any eyeballs I could ever have or have had.
This is my big, stupid eyeball.
That eyeball is big, stupid. So he promises to be her eye for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Because she only has one eye.
Yeah.
So now that he has fulfilled his quest, he goes to return to the princess and satisfy his word to marry her. And he, like, packs up all of his things in a little bindle that he throws over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And he's like, bye, moms. I'm going to go get married. And they're like, bye, son. We're so proud of you. Also, this is what you look like. Wow.
You're handsome.
Good.
Wow, your clothes don't match. We're blind. Not you.
It's like, did you get dressed in the dark?
I did. I did, yeah. We live in a cave.
And he sets off to marry his bride. But the path to his bride just happens to pass by the palace.
Mm.
And he's passing by the palace and he sees all those fat, fat pigeons.
No.
And he just can't help himself. He takes his bow and arrow and he shoots one of the pigeons and it falls from the roof to the ground, passing by the hind's window.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, she sees a flutter of white feathers descend past her window. And she looks out and she sees a dead pigeon. And then she looks and sees a young man who she specifically requested be murdered. And she is furious, as you would be.
Almost dies from fury.
Almost dies. So she sends her servant out to go fetch him. He comes in and she's like, hello, it's so good to see you again, you incredible pigeon hunter. Wow. Did you get the eyeballs for your moms? And he's like, yes, they're so happy. And now I'm off to go marry my betrothed. And she's like, well, that's really good. Well, you know, if you want, I would love to buy this pigeon from you. And he's like, well, you know, my moms can take care of themselves now because they have eyeballs and a tunnel. So I suppose I'd be willing to sell. What's your price? And she says, if you give me this pigeon, I will give you the yogi's white cow that whose milk flows all day long and makes a pond as big as a kingdom. So the yogi is this, like, it's a semi-spiritual figure, basically.
Yeah. Sounds like you would want to get rid of that cow anyway. He's causing, like, some serious ego disasters. He's flooding the earth with loose milk.
Loose milk.
Ew.
But.
Okay.
They what like if it. You love milk?
Oh, you can't drink that much milk before it just, like, spoils in the sun.
Yeah, but what if you could?
I don't think you can.
Maybe he can.
Well, that's true.
He drinks so much milk.
He does love milk.
He loves milk. Okay. He's got strong bones. So she says that she can tell him how to get the yogi's white cow, mm-hmm. who is so milky milky.
Ew. Ew, Max. No, thank you.
And he's like, all right, I suppose for a kingdom's worth of milk, I can give you this pigeon. And she's like, great, thank you so much. She tells him where to go. She says, go to my mother and ask her to show you to the yogi's white cow, mm-hmm. and give her this note so that she knows that, you know, she should help you. She writes another note that's like, seriously? Please fucking kill this kid. Thank you so much. Love you. Kisses. She gives it to him and he takes it and he is on his way back to the old woman's house. Mm-hmm. And he passes by his girlfriend's castle.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm gonna stop and say hi. He goes in and she's like, oh, you're finally here to marry me. And he's like, I was on my way to come here and get married to you, but then I got something. I think it'll be really good for us. This woman said that she could give me this white cow that produces so much milky milk.
She's like, I don't want to marry you anymore.
He's like, she gave me this note to give to her mom. So I'm going to go do that. And then I'll come back and we'll get married and we'll have a milky, milky cow.
Ew.
And she's like, all right, can I just really quickly though, like, see that note? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And he hands her the note and it's like, fucking kill him.
And dab, she's like, stab.
Ooh, just really quickly though, can I just rewrite this note really quickly? And she writes a new note and gives it to him. And he's like, all right, whatever you say, honey. And he continues on to the old woman's hut. He knocks on the door. She opens the door and she's like, what do you want? And he says, your daughter sent me back here to ask you for the yogi's white cow and all of its milky milk. And the old woman's like, why would she give you that? That is like one of the most valuable things that we have access to. Why should I give that to you?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, she also gave me this note. And the note says, give him whatever he wants. He is so sweet. What a good boy. We love him.
We love him.
She's like, all right, well, I can't say no to my daughter. So she tells the young man what to do. He's to go through a nearby field and continue walking until he reaches the end of a pond of milk.
Okay, yeah, you'll know where you are because of all the milk on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Loose milk.
Well, the loose milk. Follow the smell.
And she says, but there is something you have to be careful of. Guarding the loose milk lake.
Loose milk lake.
There are 18,000 demons.
18 moms.
18 moms. You've got to fight them all.
You got to fight my 18 moms.
She's like, there are 18,000 demons guarding the lake. So what you have to do is you have to not be scared of them.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, cool, can do.
Fantastic. I don't know what fear is. I was born in a cave.
I mean. So he goes through the field. He walks and he walks until he gets to the edge of this like opalescent, milky pond. And he sees, in fact, 18,000 demons guarding the milk puddle.
Oh, guarding one puddle. I guess there's no war right now.
I guess not. No kind of hell war going on. He sees all of the demons guarding this pond, and he completely ignores them. He doesn't look at them. And he, like, puts his hands in his pockets, and he starts whistling as he walks, and mm-hmm. he just, like, walks into the pond. And all of the demons are like, bah! And he just pretends he cannot see them and keeps whistling like a happy little song and continues on until he gets to the center of the pond where there is the yogi mm-hmm. and a big, beautiful white cow. And the yogi is milking the cow mm-hmm. forever and ever and ever.
Oh, my God. Give the cow a break.
Give this cow a break.
Yeah.
Give this cow a break.
Let's give this cow a break.
A break. This is a very milk-heavy story, I'm realizing.
Yeah.
Well, so he comes up and the yogi looks up and sees him and is like, what are you doing here? What do you want?
Yeah.
The boy says, well, I want your skin.
Oh, no.
For King Indra is making a new kettle drum.
What? Huh?
And he says your skin is nice and tough.
Who told? Oh, the mom told him to say this.
It doesn't say that anybody told him to say this.
He's just decided to be fucking
He's
weird.
He's riffing.
I think the mom must have told him to say this.
Probably.
Yeah.
He says, I want your skin, for King Indra is making a new kettle drum, and says your skin is nice and tough. Mm. And he needs only the toughest skin for his kettle drum.
Rude.
And the yogi immediately begins to shake with fear, because King Indra is the king of the gods. Mm. And even the yogi cannot refuse a request from the king of the gods.
Yeah.
And he knows that he has to do whatever King Indra says. But he's terrified. So immediately he starts shaking. He drops to his knees and he begs this young man. He's like, please, please don't take my skin.
No.
I need it. I'm using it. If you will spare me, I will give you anything, even my beautiful milky, milky white cow.
Oh, God.
And the boy says, well, I suppose I could probably find something that's as tough as your hide. Yeah, I'll let you go if you give me your cow.
Mm-hmm.
And the yogi gratefully gives him this cow.
Yeah.
And the young man brings the cow home. And the yogi gets to keep his skin.
And now he doesn't have to do that weird thing anymore.
Yeah, but he's going to be so thirsty.
He'll drink the demons.
What?
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 No, I don't know.
You can drink your demons?
I mean, I can.
This changes everything.
Drink away your demons.
Glug, glug, glug.
We both took drinks of wine as that happened. We're drinking our demons.
Gotta drink your demons. So he brings the cow back to his mom's. And immediately they set up a thriving business.
Yeah.
They're business women. Yeah. They run the industry.
Max's mommy's milkies.
Not my mommy milkies. Who, moi?
Mommy milky creamery.
The mommy milkery.
The mommy milkery. Everybody loves it. A very specific group loves it.
A very specific group of people loves the mommy milkery.
Come to the cave for the mommy's milkies.
Come for the milk, stay for the mommies.
Wow.
Oof.
Come for the milk, stay for the mommies.
Come for the milk, stay for the mommies.
I want, you know, those like vintage vintage ads of like cow, like pin-up cowgirls. That's what I want. Come for the milk, stay for the mommies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want.
You want that?
I want that.
Like a pin-up riding a cow.
Yeah, she's wearing,
and chugging she's milk wearing out of a
like the cowhide chaps, and she has like a little cowgirl hat on.
Uh-huh, and she's chugging milk out of a jug.
Yeah.
And she's just covered in milk.
So she's covered in milk. Come for the milk, stay for the mommies. Is you guys, are you too turned on with this episode? Should we fucking pull it back? So far we've said a lot of sexy things.
I don't like it.
I feel like I can hear them going, no. No, you haven't.
I thought you were saying, I feel like they're going, no, don't stop. Gross.
More.
I'm not trying to yuck anyone's yum, but I don't want to be a part of it.
Okay, well then it's just me and you guys.
Ooh. He brings the cow back to his mom's, and immediately they get to work building business enterprise.
Good.
They milk the cow. They make curds and whey. They sell milk to the confectioners in the town. They're able to get enough milk for them to live on and also enough that they can produce and sell. Mm. So now they're making a profit.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And very quickly establish themselves as the leaders in the milk industry. The mommy milkers, if
you will. You know what? Good for them. The mommy milkers have a monopoly on the milk industry. You guys want to play mommy milk monopoly?
Mom milkopoly.
Mama glee.
No. We have to cut this whole episode.
I think we might. We might have to try again. No episode next week, guys.
Sorry. And they very quickly become very wealthy off of their milk trade.
Yeah.
And now that his moms are financially stable, they have a small business that they're running themselves.
I love this.
Yeah. Their son is like, well, you know, I promised that I was going to go and marry that princess, so I should probably go do that. Mm-hmm. Now that you guys have, you know, a livelihood for yourselves.
A mommy milk monopoly.
Yeah, a mommy milker monopoly.
It's not a mommy milker monopoly.
They have both.
That assumes the mommies are being milked. Don't look at me like that.
So he goes to go marry his wife, but he has to pass by the palace again. And those sexy, sexy pigeons.
God damn it.
He's just gotta shoot one of them.
I feel like he has a crush on his stepmom. I feel like that's what's happening.
This whole story's real fucked. But he shoots one of the pigeons from the palace, and the hind sees it and is like, God damn it, this kid is still alive. She calls him in and says, I would love to buy this pigeon from you. And he's like, name your price. And she says that she will give him the... She will give him the millionfold rice, which ripens in one night. So this is like a legendary thing. It is a rice plant that creates a million rice every day, and it like refreshes overnight. So basically this is like infinite food.
Okay.
And she's like, if you give me this pigeon, I will give you rice forever.
Rice for days.
Years even.
Oh my God. Like, these are, again, this seems like an eco disaster.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay. 100%. So many eco disasters.
Of course, a million rice honestly doesn't sound like that much now that I'm thinking about it.
It's a lot of rice.
Could feed like a family of five.
Each day?
I mean, yeah, I lived in an Asian household. We ate rice with our pizza.
You think you eat 20,000 rice a day?
20,000 rice a day, yeah.
I feel like you might eat 1,000 rice a day.
Okay, so a small family of 20.
That's not even right.
It's not even rice.
A small family of 200.
No, if you want to eat 20,000 rice.
I said, what?
If you want to eat 20,000 rice.
Where did you get 20,000?
You said 20,000. Roll back the tapes. Somebody said.
If you're splitting a million rice.
This isn't a math podcast.
Between five people. They each get 200,000 rice.
You're starting your own podcast.
If it's 50 people, then it's 20,000. I feel like a person eats 1,000, so it would be 1,000 people for a day.
If you, one person, I'm tired.
Okay.
Guys, this isn't a math podcast. Stop yelling at me.
Also, what even would that be?
A math podcast? You know who could do it? The girl from 8 out of 10 Cats. That fucking awesome mathematician lady.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, she's so cool.
I would listen to her math podcast. I feel like it would be genuinely very fun.
Yeah.
She'd just give you math puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell you how to solve them.
Because
has anybody started a math podcast? It's not going to be us. I mean, it might be you. Not for me. Fucking, I want the mommy milkers back. I hate this conversation.
I had a nickel.
Bring me back the mommy milkies.
So, she offers him the millionfold rice. Mm-hmm. And he gratefully accepts. He gives her this rancid old pigeon that he has shot. She tells him to go to her mother and ask for the millionfold rice and to
bring... Okay, stop trusting your mom.
She says to bring a note, and this time she writes, kill him and do not fail this time.
She needs to stop... Learn from your... Fool me twice. Shame on you. Fool me three times. I'm a bad hind.
He takes the note and he treks towards the old woman's cottage, passing his girlfriend along the way. His girlfriend is like, hey, do you have any notes that I can read and perhaps correct? She reads the note and she replaces it with one that says, yet again, give this lad all he requires, for his blood shall be as your blood.
Oh.
So he takes this note to the old woman. He gives it to her and he's like, I want the millionfold rice. And she, again, she is like, that is the most valuable thing that we have access to, but... She's so terrified of her daughter that she can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him to go out into the fields and to pluck the plant of rice that is in the very center of the field that is taller than all the others. And then she tells him to come back and not look back.
Okay.
He just has to not interact with anything else. He plucks that one rice plant and then he comes right back to her without looking either way.
Like an Orpheus story. It's,
yeah, very much an Orpheus story. And also, just as a little postscript, the rice is guarded by 18 million demons, which he also can't be scared of.
Do not be scared of those 18 million demons.
You gotta stop being so scared of all 18 million of my favorite demons.
My favorite demons.
My favorite demons. So he goes, he walks into the field, he whistles his way along and ignores all of the demons. He gets to the center of the field, he finds the tallest rice spike, he plucks it, he turns around and he heads back to the old woman's house. But as he turns around to head back to the old woman's house, he hears 1,000 voices all around him and all of the rice spikes are crying out all at once, pick me too!
Mom!
Bring me home with you!
You took our mom!
That's our mom!
Keep it back, mom!
All of the rice says, pick me too. And he's very surprised by this because rice usually doesn't talk. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck? And he turns around to look.
Oh, God
damn
it. And
immediately turns to ash.
What?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Turns to ash. Okay. Dies. Disintegrated.
Oh, God.
The end. Nuh-uh. Nuh. He doesn't return for a very long time, and the old woman starts to get worried because the note said that his blood was as her blood.
Uh-oh.
And so she's like, if he's hurt, that means I'll get hurt.
Yeah.
So she's like, fuck, I've got to go save this goddamn kid.
Yeah.
She walks out into the field, and she comes through until she comes across a very small pile of ash, and she's like, stupid, stupid boy.
Big, stupid ash.
He's so big, stupid. And she takes a little bit of water, she pours it into the ash to make, like, a paste, and then she molds the paste into the shape of, like, a man, mm-hmm. like a little, like, mud doll of a man.
Yeah.
And then she pricks her finger and drips a single drop of her blood mm-hmm. onto the doll. And immediately, the young man is revived.
Yeah.
He comes back to life.
Classic.
And he's part blood now.
But it's part her blood. Now she's his mom. She's his eighth mom now.
He has so many moms.
Oh, my God.
He technically, I think, has 9 moms. He's got a stepmom.
Save some moms for the rest of us.
Save some moms for the rest of us.
He's big selfish.
Big selfish. So she brings him back to life and she says, don't you disobey orders again, or the next time I'll leave you alone. Now be off before I repent my kindness. And he's like, all right. And he takes the grass spike or the rice spike and he treks off back home. He brings it to his mom's and they are able to use the single spike of ever producing rice to double their industry. Now they are the rice producers for all the land.
I feel like now they're getting into the eat the rich territory.
Yeah. Oh, real close.
You know.
They become the richest people in all the kingdom. And he's like, well, surely my moms can want for nothing now. They are wealthier than God. So he goes back to the princess's castle and he finally marries her.
Mm-hmm.
And they live happily ever after, except that the princess is like...
Yeah, she's like, I want to get to the bottom of all those notes.
Yeah. She figures out what's going on. She, like, talks to his moms and figures out that, like, they all had their eyes put out and were thrown in a dungeon by his dad. And she's like, your dad should know that
yeah.
he sucks.
Yeah.
And so she hatches a plan.
Mm.
She has her husband use all of his massive wealth from the milk and rice industry
yeah.
to build a castle that is identical in every aspect to the king's castle.
Yeah.
Like, every single thing in there is identical.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has him invite the king for a feast.
Yeah.
The king has heard a lot about this young man who has 7 moms and is a baron in the milk and rice industry.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't put together the connection
yeah, that's
at all.
Weird.
He's like, it's weird that there's 7 moms for this kid.
Yeah.
Seems like a group of 7 women having children is a really good thing, maybe. Maybe this happens all the time, actually. So he accepts the invitation and he shows up to the palace and he walks in the front door and he's very confused because he's just walked into his house.
That would be confusing.
Yeah.
That's a hilarious prank.
It's a hilarious prank.
Yeah.
And he walks through his house until he gets to his throne room. But his throne room is replaced by the queen's throne room.
Oh.
And all 7 of them are lined up against the wall wearing the clothes that they were wearing when he had them thrown in the dungeon.
Fuck yeah.
And the princess is standing in front of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks up to him.
This princess is badass. Yeah. I love this.
Oh, I absolutely love her. She walks up to him and tells him everything. She's
yeah.
like, this would fucking happen.
Yeah.
You threw your wives in a dungeon. They were blind for years. Your son grew up in the dark.
They ate all of the other babies.
Yes. 6 of your sons were eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And as she tells him all of the atrocities committed by his wife.
And him.
The Hind. And also himself.
Mainly him, to be honest.
Mainly him.
Yeah.
But she's like, the Hind has caused all of these things. The bewitchment that she has placed on him is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes that he needs to get rid of her. And he orders the White Queen, the Hind, mm-hmm. to death. And then he has her buried, and then he has her grave plowed over.
Yeah.
With rice. Probably.
Oh, with never-ending rice. She's under a river of milk.
And then he reunites with all 7 of his wives, and they all live happily ever after. The end.
No, he doesn't get any more wives.
No more wives.
No more wives for him. That can't be how that ends. He needs to go back alone to his other castle. Fucking die alone, bitch.
It specifically says all 7 of his wives come back to his castle and live with him happily for the rest of his days.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a huge bummer.
No. That's the worst ending of any story we've ever told.
But also, though, at this point, they have options. They are
yeah,
wealthier than him.
Chose to go back.
And, that sucks.
He's probably getting the wealth since he's the king.
Nah.
Ugh. That was a wild story. That was a fucking weird one.
Mm-hmm. Whew. Remember the part with cannibalism?
Guys, remember the cannibalism?
Really offhandedly, we're like, and then they ate the baby.
That was really, really upsetting, for mm-hmm. sure.
It's much more offhanded in the story that I made it, where they're like, she had the baby, and then they ate it, or whatever, because they were hungry.
They needed a little num-num on a little baby. Really spooky.
Yeah.
And upsetting.
Yeah.
Cool, Max. I am going to have a hard time editing this episode and not calling the episode something with mommy milkers in it. That's going to be hard for me. Mommy Milk Monopoly.
What about MILK's Moms I'd Like to Kill?
Moms I'd Like to Kiss. Still, yeah. I made that up.
You did?
I invented that.
Wow.
Max, fantastic story.
Fantastic story, Janie.
I am so tired.
Let's go to bed.
You want to go to sleep?
Let's do it.
Okay. Guys, we're going to go to sleep. But if you're like, but I'm not sleepy, you don't have to go to bed. We're not your moms.
Or are we?
We're not your seven moms. What you can do is ask your seven moms for permission to join our Patreon so that you can get some extra episodes.
More like Matreon, am I right?
Your Matreon. That's what they call it on the podcast, the Bechdel Cast.
Oh.
Because it's a feminist movie review podcast, and so they call it the Matreon.
That's cute.
That is cute. But.
But we don't call it that.
We call it the Mommy Milkathon. And if you want to join, you can do so for only $7. The links are down in the bio, and you can listen to the bonus episodes, and you can join our Discord, and you can join the book club, and you can just have discussions about whether or not you think it's appropriate to call them the Mommy Milk Club. And you can also join us on... Oh, show me the picture.
Oh.
So I was going to say, join us on Instagram to look at the pictures, but I just realized I haven't even seen the picture yet, and I'm excited. Ooh, it's a scary, sexy lady, and she's looking up evilly as a man's hand thrusts a necklace of eyeballs at her.
Mm-hmm. Her makeup is so good.
Yeah, she's got some really snatched eyeliner.
And her lipstick, too. Perfect color.
Yeah, and she has, like, a little flower, like, gold flower nose ring, and there's just, like, a lot of cool, like, ornamental jewelry, and the little necklace of eyes is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big fan. Big fan. Really good illustration style. This is another one of those collections of folktales that they got, like, one illustrator, mm-hmm. or, like, two, in this case, two illustrators to do. So it's very uniform, and it's very satisfying to flip through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it really is. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so I'll put pictures of that on our Instagram and join our TikTok, and all of our socials are in the bio, and we just really appreciate you. Genuinely really appreciate you. Leave a 5-star review if you don't mind. I would like to get to 100 reviews soon, and we're like 81, so we're on our way there. Mm-hmm. But we also really appreciate any emails that you guys send. We just had a really, really nice email get sent by our new friend Lati, who also sent pictures of her cat, and I sent a terrible picture of Leaf back. It wasn't a good trade-off because Leaf is terrible, but...
You should send that picture of Leaf being so, so long that I sent you.
There's a lot of pictures of Leaf doing weird shit.
He's just a shape.
He is just shapes, truly. What a macaroni.
So he is macaroni.
He is macaroni. Maybe that'll make him love me. So, yeah, just join our Discord. Hang out
just
with us.
Just do it. Just God do damn it.
So tired.
Okay. And then we all go to bed.
We're going to go to bed now. Okay, guys, we hope you have a good night.
See you later, mommies.
See you later, mommy milkers. Bye. Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher are divorcing.
Oh, no.
And I said Cohen.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Sacha Baron Cohen. It's a Sacha, hard name.
Sacha Baron Cohen O'Brien.
Sacha Baron Cohen so, O'Brien.
Person I'd like to pitch. Also, Sacha Baron Cohen the Barbarian is a person I'd like to pitch.
I'm Team Coco. So anyway, they're getting divorced.
Oh. And R&B. I don't know anything. I didn't know that they were together, but
well, they're very private, but it makes a lot of sense that they were together for a long time as both very like funny, goofy people. Mm-hmm. But they also do not. They made a big deal for the last like 20 years of them being married. Of like, there's no like crossover. They don't do a bunch of stuff together because they want their relationship and their kids' lives to be extremely private, which I love.
Yeah.
But they're getting a divorce, and we know this because they posted an Instagram story of both of them dressed like tennis players, and they were like, after 20 years of this tennis match we call life, we're getting a divorce. Sorry. And that made me laugh harder than it should have, but I think that's such a funny way to announce your divorce.
We've been playing this game for 20 years and still no love.
Which is really good. They're like, anyway, I served him with divorce papers. I think that's so, and all of the articles, is now my Instagram saw that I liked one thing, and it was like, oh, so you want all the news? All the news is like, what a bizarre way to tell us. Also, they're so private, they probably didn't need to make a statement.
Probably.
I love that they did. I'm a big fan. If you and I ever divorce, we should do something weird like that.
Yeah, we really should.
What would you have us do if we divorced?
I would have us schedule a like vow renewal and have everyone come, and then we get up to the top of the aisle, and then we're like, psych, we're getting a divorce. You're all idiots. Enjoy the reception.
Enjoy the reception. It's a cash bar.
Psych, we're not assholes. And then everyone has a nice time.
Everybody has a great time. Yeah. That's really good. I think I would have us... I don't know. I'm trying to think of puns and I'm very sleepy. So what I'm thinking is we dress like cops and we go back to get back in our like sexy cop, their sexy cop outfits, of course. We go back to back and we're like, we are serving. No, wait, hold on. Just the tennis joke. Hold on.
We've decided to be just buddy cops.
Oh, that's really good. They're like, we are putting ourselves under arrest.
We are
ending our life sentence. Oh, so we're dressed like prisoners. Sorry, we're not dressed like cops. We're dressed like two prisoners who just broke out of jail.
Oh my God, and we're both wearing the same ball but separate chains.
Oh, or we have a pickaxe and we're breaking the chain with the pickaxe.
And the chain is made of wedding rings.
Yeah. Oh, it's such an expensive bit. How come the whole chain is 24 karat gold? I'm crafty. I feel like I could have done that better. But you guys, if we ever actually got divorced, we would make it authentic for you guys.
For you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, please join the Discord. We need money. We can't afford this bit.
Or this divorce.
We have to stay married forever because we can't afford to get divorced. Oof. Nightmare. We live in a capitalist nightmare.
Bye!